This time on Slaughterhouse Princess, the mothers. Out of the steaming slave markets come ravaging sea savages, the mothers.
Also, Jive Turkeys. Theme music.
Welcome to Slaughterhouse Princess. I'm Chris.
And I'm Troy. And the fact that I spoke before the theme music means that Horselanta's not here again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. He's got things going on. He's, you know, got to get his hoof repaired, get his tail trimmed, his mane combed and braided.
Yeah.
Teeth checked.
Putting him all out that to stuff. Stud.
Yeah.
Not really.
He's got to get curried.
Mm-hmm. The farrier which is will weird. Be there later.
It is weird that you curry a horse, but you don't make horse curry. Ugh. I mean, you could make horse curry, just most people don't.
Yeah, I haven't yet.
Yet, yeah, power of yet. So, yeah, this movie was suggested to us by a hot doggy Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even though we had him in attendance for an episode, we didn't show him this one for some reason.
We had to watch Basket Case.
That is true. We did have to watch Basket Case. Yeah, that we had established that was going to be the con movie a couple months ahead of time. So before he suggested The Mothers and before we knew he was attending.
For a lot of things.
Yeah, before time itself.
Maybe not that far back.
Oh, okay, that's true. I mean, we've done a lot of episodes, but not that many episodes.
It's true.
Yeah. So, Chris, how does The Mothers start?
It starts on some kind of pleasure cruise.
Yeah, people are just out in the quote-unquote Caribbean.
Wink.
Yeah, wink, wink. Having a lovely day at sea with alcohol, swimsuits, and frivolity.
Yeah, there's some choice swimsuits in this. You can tell it's 1976.
Yeah, like they like, oh, you're a woman, you're going to be in a bikini on this ship. No questions.
Yeah.
And the guys are going to be like in seersucker shorts and like button down shirts, but the women in bikinis, damn it.
It was the style of the time.
It was the exploitation of the time.
And then, what should happen? But the mothers show up.
And why do we know they're called the mothers, Chris?
It's on their boat.
Yep. And how do we spell the mothers, Chris?
M-U-T-H-E-R-S.
Yeah. I was surprised they did not go with the mothers, but I was happy that they still spelled it oddly, and that they put that name on the fucking boat.
Yeah.
It was like an oversized John boat.
Yeah, it was like a landing craft. It's got like the flip down front.
Yeah. Yeah. It could have stormed the beaches of Normandy at one point.
It might have. The thing was not new, I'll tell you that.
No, that is true. and the crew that we see... So the crew themselves, mostly men of vaguely Latino, like, slash Asian heritage.
Yeah.
And the two women in command are both black ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. And they are leading the charge.
They're pirates, if we didn't mention that.
Yes, they are pirates. And they are there to raid the pleasure cruise for their wallets and jewelry.
Yeah. So they do.
Yep. And one guy kind of makes a joke like, oh, we're pirates. I don't see any swords. And then one of the ladies holds a knife to his neck. Is like, how about that? That good enough for you, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, why would you expect them to have swords? It's like 1976. Of course they have guns, idiot.
Yeah. I mean, Errol Flynn is not sailing the seven seas to take your booty.
Yeah, they're not privateers.
Yeah. They have no letters of marque.
It's cool. The Queen of Spain said I could do this.
Yeah. Got a problem with it? Take it up with her. Meantime, your galleon is mine. I played a lot of Sid Meier's Pirates back in the day.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I always took a proficiency in sword fighting because you could take over ships real quick by winning a duel.
Yeah.
And you didn't lose as much crew that way.
Highly recommended.
Yeah. This is, I'm talking like the 1980s or... Yeah, 1980s one, not the one they did back in either the late 90s or early 2000s with a dancing mini game.
Pirates Gold.
Yeah, I didn't do that one. I haven't played that one.
But anyway, they successfully piratized them.
Yes. And then they have to go sell their booty.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds more racist than it is.
Yeah, it's pirate. It's, pirate booty.
Yeah, not black lady booty.
So, they head back to the... How do I not remember what happens in this movie? I just watched it.
They go to the local island where there's a... It looks almost like a Day of the Dead festival going on.
Yeah.
But it's not. Apparently, it's just a fiesta. And they have to... They track down a dude and they're like, hey, we have a boat and we need to sell the stuff on our boat. And he's like, oh, you have fish? And they're like, no, we don't have any fish. None of it is fish. And he's like, oh, well, you need to talk to the commandant then. And then she's like, they're like, yeah, we're trying to avoid imperial entanglements if at all possible. He's like, well, I only handle fish. They're like, well, like, what do you want to sell? She's like, basically everything but the boat itself. And he's like, you wink, wink, you really should talk to the commandant. And they're like, okay, I guess we will. And it turns out he is super dirty because, you know, they don't pay cops enough. They don't pay cops a living wage on this island. And so he also handles the black market side of things. And they're trying to negotiate with him. He's like, oh, no, not tonight. There's a fiesta. And then someone's like, dude, there's like a fiesta, literally a fiesta every night. Every time someone has a baby, there's a fiesta. Every time someone dies, there's a fiesta. Every time someone takes a shit, there's a fiesta. You know, every time someone like looks west, there's a fiesta. Like, there are fiestas all the time. And he's like, that's true. But talk to me tomorrow. Oh, wait, hold on. There's the Turk. I have to go talk to him, talk business with him. And they're like, not the Turk. He's our like nemesis with his jaunty red bandana tied around his head. Red scarf.
He's a bad pirate, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that, the blazing red scarf, like just stereotypical tied around his head. And they're like, oh, we see how the wind blows here. You're going to give us, you know, tell us to come back tomorrow, but you'll do business today, even though there's a fiesta going on. And he's like, it's a living. And then kind of like goes off to talk to the Turk.
Yeah. So they head back to HQ.
Right. Their little pirate camp. They give a girl with a busted knee a gold coin or silver coin. A doubloon, maybe.
Possibly.
A peso 8.
Yeah, that'll help her walk, I'm sure.
Yeah. Pay for someone to untie that bandana around her knee.
Yeah.
And they go talk to not Santino. The guy whose wife was yelling at him the whole time while he was sleeping.
Oh yeah, yeah. You better tell the captain.
I have no better name for him.
Yeah, I think he's trying to get out of work is what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I think his wife is like wants him to do work, and he's like, I don't want to do work. I'm pretending to sleep.
Yeah.
And then she just constantly like yells at him the whole time while he's trying to sleep.
In fairness, he kind of sucks.
He does suck. Yeah. I mean, he is only moderately helpful this entire movie at the best.
Yeah. And they have a chat with her about pirate shit.
Yep. And they find out that her sister is missing.
Do they?
Is this when they find that out?
Well,
first, at some point, they have to fight off an incursion from the Turk.
Yeah, the Turk shows up, and he's all like, hey, we're going to steal your boat full of white guy wallets.
Of American Express cards and Diners Club International.
Yeah. And they have a scrap, and the action sequences in this movie are super fun.
Yeah, like anything involving a bunch of group of people shooting at another group of people, it just feels like an episode of the A-Team, only without people diving, like doing like fucking front flips out of watchtowers, and no cars get launched with explosives as they're driving.
Yeah. You know what? There were zero Wilhelm screams, which is weird, because it seems like the kind of thing where something would have blown up and there would have been a Wilhelm scream at some point with some guy like flipping out of the front of something.
That's very fucking true, and you're right. I don't remember a single Wilhelm scream in this movie.
You think there would have been one?
No, that is good call, Chris. Good call. 1 point for you.
Oh, that brings my lifetime total to one.
Yeah, I mean, the points are also useless, but you can have it.
Yeah, but you can take them to the redemption counter and get fuck you for them.
Yeah, it's like going up to the counter with one ticket from a skee ball machine, but what can I get for this?
Yeah.
And they're like, you can get laughed at. That's about it.
Here's an eraser. It smells vaguely like a strawberry. Fuck off.
No, that takes like five tickets at least for one of those.
Or a spider ring.
Yeah, no, two or three minimum. Like, I literally think there was nothing you could get for just one ticket.
Unrelated tangent. My brother was so good at ticket games that he was the guy. You ever wondered who got like the fucking 7,000 ticket Samsung like tablet? That was my brother. He was
like, was he just like fucking dropping the skee ball in the 100 every throw?
He was like unconscionably good at the game where it spins around, right? You're like, it's like a little dome and there's a turntable that spins and you push the button and you push off the thing to get tickets.
I don't think I know that one.
He was really good at that. Like, he probably got that stupid tablet for the equivalent of like $25.
Nice. Well, that's the thing too, is like the person who gets that is like the outlier, and everyone else is like spending $30 to get like a fucking like quarter holder or token holder. I remember getting one of those at Showbiz Pizza, like just it held like fucking a roll of quarters basically, which was great when I had to do laundry in college, because I just had a fucking thing that held like a roll of quarters and I could use those for laundry.
I went to a place when I was a kid that was called Billy Bob's Pizza Wonderland, which was the repurposed Showbiz Pizza.
Nice.
It was wild.
Did it have like the, like a knockoff Rockafire explosion in it?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was in West Virginia, I think.
Huh? No, there was a place, I don't think it's there anymore, and there was no games. It was just a restaurant, but it was called Positive Pete's Pasta Palace or something. Like, it was this like garishly pink building, and they apparently served pasta there, and it was just, I never went in, but I was always curious because I was afraid it was going to be like a kid's place. I didn't want to be like the fucking like 30-year-old male going in alone into like a kid's restaurant.
I
never went in.
I'd have done it.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't want to be that creepy, so I never went in. And it's probably why they went out of business, because everyone was afraid it was a kid's restaurant. And then everyone who went in there with kids was like, this isn't a kid's restaurant. What's going
on? It's either a kid's restaurant or a strip club. It's hard to save.
Oh, no, Paper Moon is the strip club near me.
How could you not go to a place that was Positive Pete's Pasta fucking Purgatory or whatever?
Palace. Hey, I have to look it up now. I don't remember what the fuck the name of it was, but it was, let's see.
I would go in just on the alliteration alone.
Yeah, it was super alliterative. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? Come on, give me Google.
Give me that sweet, sweet Google. Oh,
Generous George's Positive Pizza and Pasta Place. That was the name of it.
That's even crazier of a name.
Yeah. Oh, and I think there was a very unfortunate Yelp review on this. It just says kids, kids, kids. Yeah, that's kind of not what you want to see from the reviews of a place called Jaren's George's Positive Pizza and Pasta Place. So yeah, glad I did not go in there as like a 30-year-old adult male by myself. Anyway, we were talking about a movie, I believe.
Yeah.
Also, there is a on the boat, the mother's boat. There is a deck gun that when they shoot it, a few, like three people die near where the shell hits.
It's true.
I just want to point that out now.
Foreshadowing.
We'll come back. Yeah, we'll come back to that later. They managed to fend off the Turk and his crew enough to escape.
Yeah.
But the Turk does take chase, does give chase in his much bigger boat. And it's much more like a sailing boat, but apparently is motor powered because all the sails are down, but they're still going forward. And yeah, a good clip.
It's got like big pontoons on the side too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a proper boat, whereas the mothers just seem to be like piloting, as Chris said, like a landing craft.
Yeah. And they celebrate their victory at local bar?
Well, so they talk to Santino, and Santino's like, oh yeah, your sister's not here. She went to Santo Domingo, which is in the Caribbean, but this movie is quite obviously not shot in the Caribbean, but we'll go with it.
Yeah, sure.
And he's like, and they're like, so let's go there and see if we can track down your sister. They go to random square where one of the ladies is like, hey, did you see a lady? Have you seen a lady who's like my height, got like kinky black hair and my complexion?
Yeah.
You know, like, have you seen a black lady around, basically? And they're like, oh yeah, and they point over in a direction. Apparently that's a bar. So they go to the bar because I think her sister like styles herself as like a lounge singer. So she goes to bars and sings for money when she doesn't want to be a pirate.
I mean, you can't rely on secondhand Diners Club cards forever.
Right? Because eventually, once those people get back to a phone, they're going to cancel their card.
Yeah, you got to really run the bill up. Also, yeah, it's hard to pass quick off your name's Reginald.
Yeah, or Telly Savalas.
Who loves you, baby?
Didn't he do the Diners Club commercials for a while?
All I know about Telly Savalas is he ain't got no hair and he was Kojak.
Yeah, and he was Greek. See, Telly... Oh, actually, we should... I don't know why I'm Googling shit.
We got a guy for that.
Yeah. Horse Lance is the one who uses him the most, and that's why I forget. So, yeah, let me ask my question, Chris. You continue on.
So they're at the bar where I think the sister actually is still there, but that's where she gets abducted.
I think you are incorrect, Chris. I think it is one of the two black ladies from that are either captain or the first mate who encounters trouble there.
Did she get abducted? I don't know. Somehow I can't recall. It's weird. It's out of character for me. I usually remember lots of stuff.
I know. Yeah. Usually you have a mind like a steel trap, but not tonight.
Yeah. I have a mind like a steel trap in the sense that it's rusty and dangerous.
Yep. And going to give you tetanus.
Yeah. And will hurt the person using it as much as anyone.
Yeah. Which is weird because I got my tetanus shot after SHB Con, not before SHB Con. So I was doing it incorrectly.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have. I got one right before. I know better. I know how rusty you are.
Actually, I went to get my physical for the first time like in 3 years this last week. And then I was like, you've been vaccinated for tetanus. I was like, yeah, I don't know how long it's been. It may have been more than 10 years. And they're like, well, we'll just give it to you today. I'm like, that sounds great.
I do enjoy a random shot.
Yep. Also, I have to avoid grapefruit juice now because I take medicine for my blood pressure, which is going to put a crimp in my Malort drinking schedule. Since the only way I can drink it is with a grapefruit Radler.
Yeah, and drive to Ohio at this point.
Well, I can acquire Malort in DC if I want to.
I have all the Malort.
You do, and somehow you keep not spinning it. Or you keep spinning it and then spinning again until you don't get it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The wheel is sacred, okay?
Oh, God damn it. You just put another Ace of Base song in my head.
Yeah, they got a song about Malort.
No, they have a song called Wheel of Fortune, which is what the Wheel of Sacred threw into my head because you said wheel.
I recently listened to
like their one big album. When I say big, I mean like their biggest album, which is not very big.
It's conventionally sized.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's adequate. No one's going to point and laugh at it.
That's the important thing.
Oh, Christian is failing me. He has not been paying attention tonight. Like, my dog, it really wants to come downstairs. Maybe he wants to get on the couch with me. Hey, buddy. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hey, bud.
Hi, Lucy. You can get sniff the mic for Christian. No, I don't think he did.
No.
No. But I got him in his super dog pajamas. It's like little dogs in capes, like superheroes.
Like you do.
They're super cute. And being a pity, he hates it when I grab his paws and try to put him through the holes, but he doesn't mind wearing the pajamas themselves. But he's a good boy, aren't you, buddy?
So trouble breaks out at the bar.
Oh, yeah, because one guy tries to have sex with the captain lady. Yeah. And she doesn't want to. She just wants to find her sister. Meanwhile, the other lady at the bar is drinking tequila shots and getting hit on by dudes and shutting them all the way down. And then the bartender's like, usually women just leave once the guys start harassing them too much. And she's like, I'll be fine as long as you keep the tequila shots flowing. Just give me another.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty good.
And the one captain lady ends up beating the shit out of the guy who's sexually assaulting her.
Yeah, she pulled out some nice kung fu maneuvers, and by she, I mean her stunt double.
Yeah, sometimes it's really them, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, but it's very much like a combination of like gymnastics, pro wrestling, and kung fu in the one of the better ways possible.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. The fight scenes in this movie I enjoyed, I will say.
I like when she just straight up throws that table lamp at him.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, she kicks him to the ground, and then she's like, oh, and by the way, it picks up this huge ass table lamp. Like, that thing was like 2 feet tall and about a foot and a half wide.
Yeah, it was ceramic. Like a 5 gallon fucking drum of a fucking table lamp.
And she just throws it at him. It's like, and also, fuck you.
And then she can't get out. And then I guess like security or whatever shows up. And he's all like, that woman is beating me up. She's trying to rob me.
Yeah, I totally didn't try to touch her inappropriately. She tried to rob me. And she says, you know what? Fuck all y'all. I'm out.
Yeah. And she goes to leave. Her sister shows up and they kung fu fight. Are they all sisters? I actually don't remember.
I don't think her sister, I think, is already on the coffee plantation.
So her sister's on the coffee plantation. But
we don't find out about until a bit later.
But the other one.
Yeah, her first mate.
Is not her sister.
Bosun Smee is not her sister.
Okay. It was unclear. Would you believe this 1976 pirate exploitation movie isn't exactly the most narratively coherent?
That is, I would believe that, actually.
So they basically are now abducted and taken to the coffee prison.
No, no, no. They escape.
Oh, they meet escape. Up
with Santino.
That's right, because
they're eating Justice Department. Yeah, they're eating meat on stick. The type of meat is not readily clear in any way. So they're eating meat on stick, and that's when the man from the Justice Department shows up and is like, so there's this bad guy who runs a coffee plantation, and we had an informant in there, but she has stopped sending us information, but she did tell us that your sister was there. So we want you to end up on the coffee plantation so that you can feed us information about this guy. And then I guess you can rescue your sister if you want.
Yeah. Also, we'll ignore all that pirate shit you did.
Yeah.
So also, now I guess they are privateers.
Only if they succeed.
Yeah.
They're future privateers.
So off they go to volunteer for the prison coffee plantation.
To get picked up by whoever like gets women to send there to work on the coffee plantation.
Yeah.
I think they use a combination of spam emails and press gangs.
Like you do.
Yeah. And they meet I call her den mother. RA would also work. She's kind of like the house mother. And they talk to her. That lady got shanghaied, which is probably a racist term, but whatever. By, I don't know, she answered an ad in the paper.
Yeah.
And ended up working at this coffee plantation as a slave or indentured servant or whatever you want to call it. The coffee plantation, the fucking like English translation name is like, there's no escape.
Yeah. Right. It's a little on the nose.
Yeah. Like you will never get out of here.
Yeah.
Coffee plantation.
You're going to die here. Coffee.
Yep. And they do find out that at first they don't talk about the sister until they're working one day picking the berries off of the coffee trees. I haven't been to a coffee plantation for a number of years. I actually was at one point in Hawaii. Hi, Mrs. Chris. Yeah. She's like, oh, here's Link. Have Link.
No, I don't want him.
But I don't remember them being like full grown trees. I remember them being more bushes, but I could be wrong. But the wild part about going to a quote unquote plantation in Hawaii was going to the pineapple plantation. Pineapples don't grow on trees. They grow like on the top of like 3 foot tall plants. They just like grow right out of the top.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's real weird. Like it's caught pineapples probably do not grow in the way you picture in your brain.
Wait, so they like that's the top?
Yes. It's like a 3 foot like tube, like trunk, and then like fucking pineapple just grows on top.
So they're upside down relative to how you like.
No. The bottom of the pineapple connects to the top of the trunk of the bush. Well, I'd say trunk, but like it's they look probably nothing like you imagine a pineapple plant.
Oh, I get it. So like they're probably all spiky.
I don't remember. I just remember like we drove through and we're like, they're like, oh, and these are the pineapple plants. And we're all like, what?
Okay. Like, so they're like agaves on a stick.
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's fair enough. That's close enough for government work. Yeah. 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 Like I always pictured like pineapples like growing on trees. They do not.
That's weird.
Yeah. No, like, you Google it sometime. It's not what you think you would imagine given like if bananas and mangoes are your other tropical fruit touchstones, they do not grow in the same way at all.
Huh.
Yeah. But we're talking about a movie called The Mothers, Chris.
Sorry, you're blowing my mind with pineapple facts.
Yeah, I know. Man, I'm very divergent today. So they're picking the coffee berries off of the coffee trees.
Yeah, they really want to find their sister and escape.
Yep, and the lady thinks that she sees her sister in the back of a truck, but it's not actually her sister. When the lady turns around and she's like, "Oh wait, no, that's not my sister." And they tell the den mother or the house mother that's not actually that they're there for the sister. They also meet the lady who is apparently the black lady who's a kept slave at the house.
Yeah.
And they heavily imply that she has to sleep with the leader as part of her duties as the house slave.
Everybody's got a job.
They do call her, it is a black, at one point the black lady does call the other black lady a house N-bomb, which, I mean, in context was funny, but I mean, they laughed about it at least.
Yeah.
So I was like, I understand the joke. I was way too uncomfortable to laugh at it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah, I can see why you would say that. I can't really bring myself to laugh at that, but I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm sure it was a good joke.
And this sets up kind of the second act.
Series? Yeah, the second act, which is a series of escape attempts.
Yeah. Which, I mean, here's the thing, right? It's a little light on plot right now.
Right. They do, they find out, though, that their sister escaped.
Her and some other random lady. Person.
Yeah, by getting a gun from a guard. Like, the guard gave them his gun, and they escaped. The bad guys catch the other lady and bring her back and hang her by her hair from this giant tripod, like, so she's like feet off of the ground, just hanging by her head. Somehow that kills her.
I mean, it sounds like it would suck, but I don't know if it would kill you.
Right? Like, but like, she's almost immediately dead after they do it. I'm like, pretty sure that would just hurt a whole lot, and I would probably be thrashing and screaming, not just hanging there like dead or unconscious.
Yeah, I mean, eventually I guess it would rip either all your hair out or your scalp. It wouldn't be great, but I don't think it would happen that fast.
No, but like it just kills her. She's dead.
Yeah.
Apparently hanging someone from their hair just kills them.
Her heart is in her hair.
Yeah. But they had not found the sister at that point.
Yeah. The plantation guy, the owner, I guess.
Yeah, the bad guy.
He's very upset. He gets the guard who gave him the gun and gives him the worst punishment he can think of, which is basically the other guards kick him into one of the...
Well, so the other guards tell the ladies in the house, one of the buildings, the barracks, that they're going to only going to be fed once a day. Their day is going to start at 4 in the morning. They're going to have to be in the field working. They're not going to get a lunch break. Presumably, they'll be fed at night after all the work is done. And maybe some other, like, punishment, like punitive bullshit. And they said, so that's going to happen. Or you can take your vengeance out on this guard. And they kick him in there. And then the ladies imply that they're going to rape him to death.
It's questionable what occurs.
But the leads and the den mother or house mother, I keep calling her den mother, but I mean house mother, like are watching it happen, and they all imply that he is being raped to death by them.
It just looks like they're beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, they just like start pounding on him, and I mean, I guess they give him the deadliest hand job. I don't know. Like it was weird. Players Club, by the way, is what Christian says, which I think may be the Canadian version of Diners Club. But Christian did answer my question of what credit card did Telly Savalas do commercials for. Yep. So Chris, we have transferred Christian's fund this week to his wife because his wife answered. Not him.
Yeah, totally fair.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he gets to share some of the fun with her, but she is not legally obligated to give him 50% of her fun. As I understand the Canadian fun code.
Canadian fun code. Is a hell of a phrase.
That was for Christian. Congrats. Have fun with that one. Yeah, so they apparently rape the guy to death, which, I mean, death by Snoo-Noo is probably not the worst death ever.
I mean, not the best.
No, I mean, no death is a good death when you want to be alive. I guess, no, never mind. No one was privy to that conversation but Chris.
That's true.
Yeah, so that guard got the other lady got. Eventually they find her sister and kill her before they could show us her face.
Yeah.
Or her body. Like they kind of just like off screen are like, oh yeah, by the way, we caught the sister and she's dead now.
She was hanging up.
Right. But they don't like, I guess. Yeah.
And they freak out and try to, in a psychobilly manner. They fight the guards in a fun and exciting action sequence involving flip kicks and the like.
Yeah. Like, and using repeated backflips to dodge things.
Yeah.
Punches and kicks.
It's pretty good.
Later on, she does backflips to dodge bullets, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and for a bunch of armed guards, they sure don't shoot a lot when there's clear problems. You would think in this particular setup, they'd be a little more liberal with the shooting people.
Well, I like to think that there's probably like other guards and innocent bystanders behind the targets. And since one of the first rules of shooting your gun is know what's beyond your target so that you don't hit, like you don't shoot at something you don't want to hit. Like, you know, other guards or your boss or something.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if that would really apply when you were dealing with fucking prison coffee plantations.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you had guns. I always assume if someone's not shooting a gun, it's because they don't want to hit something that is downrange. even if they're not aiming at that thing.
So there's another escape attempt. It goes poorly.
Oh, they get locked up in the box for a while.
Yeah. And that's when the house mother's like, look, guys, you gotta stop doing this. Like,
yeah, just there is no escape.
Resign yourself to your fate. And they're like, nope, we're going to put one in that motherfucker.
Yep.
He killed our sister. We're going to get out of here. Fuck all these assholes.
It is just the one lady whose sister it is. The other one is not related to either of the other one.
I mean, we're all related if you think about it.
Yeah. I don't know, Chris, are you saying all black women are sisters? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, like all humans are related.
All humans are sisters?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
We're a big sisterhood of traveling pants.
Yeah, I support Nyla Rose. Fuck Oklahoma. Yeah, so, and then, so, like, House Mother's like, well, let me see if I can at least get the lady who, the house slave lady to help out, because at least that lady has a, you know, has a connection to the bad guy. The house lady goes to talk to the bad guy at one point, and a topless male guard gets out of his bed and leaves the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad guy seems to have no sexual interest in the house slave at all, which is weird because they keep talking about how like terrible, like even the house slave lady herself is like, oh, like you don't know what I have to do while I'm in the house. They're like, well, we can guess. And she's like, well, it's worse. And, but it sounds like the dude's just banging his like male guards and not paying any attention to her, which makes me wonder, like, is he just also banging the guards? Cause, or is he only banging the guards? I'm not sure which, but one would make things a lot easier on the house slave than the other.
True.
Yeah. But I was actually surprised to see any, even a hint of homosexuality in this movie at all. Well, male homosexuality.
Yeah.
Since this does have the trappings of a prison, female prison exploitation movie, you kind of expect a little like female lesbian action or implication in a movie.
True.
Yeah. But apparently, finally, everybody gets on the same page and decides that the four of them, the captain, Bosun Smee, the house mother, and the house slave, are all going to escape.
Yeah.
And they do that by lighting barracks roofs, thatch roofs on fire.
It is, at best, a bad plan.
Mm-hmm. Yet somehow it still works.
Doesn't seem like it should work. I'm going to be honest.
No. I mean, because at some point the captain and Bosun Smee like got themselves hung upside down for you know, mouthing off / attacking guards /
trying to
escape.
They got punished when the plantation owner was going to... He was auditioning people for the weird white guy.
Yeah, I think he's a coffee broker.
Yeah, he was gonna pick up a couple of them, and one of the two, I don't remember which one, lipped off.
I think it was the captain.
Yeah, she lipped off to the guy, which got him sent to the office of the plantation owner. It was like, yeah. Look here, assholes. I know everything. That guy you're supposed to be finding from the government office, dead. They drag him in. He dead.
Yeah. His informant, dead. Your sister,
dead. Just give it up.
You fucked.
Yeah. And that's when the captain's like, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face. And he's like, cool, cool. So you're going to hang upside down for 48 hours. I'm pretty sure that would kill you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that fucks with your blood flow and shit.
Yeah, there's some fancy science word for it.
Yeah. Like, it makes it hard to breathe.
And that's when the worst jailbreak ever occurs.
Yeah.
So off they go into the jungle. They do have a change of clothes, which is nice.
Yeah. Turtlenecks specifically. Because no one else, you know, no one is better to escape, but nothing else is better to escape in the jungle with than fucking turtlenecks.
Yeah. Boy, this jungle sure is hot and humid. If only I had a turtleneck.
Yep.
So they take off into the jungle. They're running around. They almost fall down some sort of waterfall. They're starting to kind of argue back and forth. Team Pirate doesn't trust the house lady on account of, you know, she's in the house. They don't trust her. She wasn't out there putting in work like they were. They argue back and forth a little. She starts a fire. I think Bosun kicks it out, saying you're going to give away our position. Don't know why you need a fire in the jungle in the middle of the day. That seems unnecessary. They take a quick time out to take river baths, so there could be some boobs in the movie. Not that it's the worst thing that's ever happened. They continue on through said jungle. They make a stop. They're very tired. What with the jungle escapades and the almost falling down the waterfall.
Are they hungry yet, Chris?
They are hungry, in fact.
Ooh. And so how do they have some canned food, Chris, but they don't have a can opener. How do they open the cans, Chris?
Gun.
Yep.
Very American way to solve that problem.
Yeah. I'll just shoot this can and like the fucking like whatever fava beans are in it or whatever just like fucking come flying out.
Yeah. Dinner served, she says, which is pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. And this is the house slave lady who has the gun that she presumably stole from the house.
Yeah. And then they decide they're going to turn in at what appears to be 2:30 in the afternoon after splitting a like 8-ounce can of beans four ways.
I mean, they're tired. They've been hiking through the jungle for hours now.
I mean, look, I'm not an expert jungle coffee plantation prison farm escapee, but maybe one of you should stay awake. Maybe.
If there's one thing I've learned from Dungeons and Dragons is you always need to set a watch.
Yeah, like take turns, guys. Don't all go to sleep.
But they do. They all fall asleep.
Yeah.
And is this when the cobra shows up?
Yep, that's when the cobra shows up inexplicably.
Yes. You know, those deadly Caribbean cobras.
Super indigenous to the region.
Yeah, just FYI, this was shot in the Philippines, in case anyone needs to know. But it was supposed to be set in the Caribbean, I guess.
Yeah.
And the cobra bites house mother in the boob.
Yeah.
Like the upper boob.
There is a pretty good back and forth at this point.
Yep.
Where she says, snake's always going for my chest. To which the captain responds, well, at least it wasn't in your pants.
Yeah.
And then she says, don't make me laugh.
Yeah, and that's when house slave takes like the edge of a can, like a can lid or something, and like cuts the wound and then tries to suck the venom out.
Yeah, and her official prognosis is she's going to be fine after a nap.
Yep. But it turns out that she has trouble walking for most of the rest of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, cobras are known for being super not venomous.
Yeah, I don't remember if it's a hemotoxin or a nerve toxin that they have.
I mean,
I should ask.
You should.
At Christian's wife.
Yeah. Now we know who really knows what's going on over there. They pack up and head off.
Yep. And they keep talking about how they feel like they're being watched.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, the jungle, there's always something in the jungle watching you, whether it's an owl or a
birds,
cobra.
Or animals.
Birds or animals.
Which I absolutely loved. I was like, yeah it could be a bird or an animal.
Birds aren't real.
Even back in 1976, they knew that.
Yep.
And it turns out they are being watched.
Right.
By a guy who's quite clearly in view.
Yeah. With a hat. He's back. I mean, they shoot him from behind. He's in the shadows, so you can't see any real detail, except for he's wearing a hat.
Yeah. But it turns out, luckily enough, it's the pirate squad.
Yeah. It's all the guys that work for the pirate ladies. And they save them, except for as they're saving them, not only does plantation owners and his men show up, but also the Turk and his crew show up, and there is a battle involving the pirates being stuck between those two bad guys.
Yeah. They have a bit of a standoff because the who gets him? Is it Captain Lady gets him? Gets the plantation owner at gunpoint?
Yes, I think so. But and then as a dramatic reversal, that's when the house slave turns on them and it's revealed that she was working for the plantation owner the whole time. And then there's more of a fighting, and then the house mother and the house slave lady end up fighting each other, and the house slave lady just can't do it anymore, and like has a if there was a shower, she would have a shower cry, but instead she just kind of like grabs the sides of her head and collapses to her knees and just screams about it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not really a psychobilly freak out, so I can't call it that. But I guess if a psychobilly freak out and a shower cry had a baby, that's what it is.
And then it's just like a 20-minute action sequence breaks out.
Yeah, there's like kung fu fighting, A-team shooting, running through the jungle, just mayhem.
Yeah, at one point, the bosun flanks a bunch of dudes and just shoots like 9 guys with a fucking machine gun. And at
9
once.
Guys.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then they run off 9. And then they run the other way. And
oh, yeah. Eventually they make it back to their boat, though. They do end up like killing the plantation owner, right?
Well, first they make it to the boat. And then that's when they get the deck cannon and they start blowing everybody up.
Yeah, and by blowing everyone up, you mean like they shoot and like 3 guys near where the shell falls, like, die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do manage to get... They decide to split up because now the Turk has gotten back in his ship boat.
Yep.
Not big enough to be a ship.
Right.
So they decide that they're going to split their forces. Half are going to stay and take out the plantation owner, and the other half are getting on the boat, and they're going to take out the Turk.
Mm-hmm.
So Captain gets her vengeance.
Yep.
And takes out the plantation owner. As she said, She shot the guy.
Yep.
There's a... I'd say action-packed ship battle, but it's not.
No, it is. They kind of circle the... So the mothers kind of circle around the Turk, and they shoot the deck gun at his ship, and it fucking vaporizes it. Like... There is literally like it's like they set a bomb off underneath the surface of the water. Like it's like a big like fucking mushroom cloud of water just engulfs the ship and just like breaks it into splinters. Like it variable power of deck gun, not to be confused with variable power of shotgun as discussed on the Horror Show Hot Dog podcast at times.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, that gun went from like killing three dudes with a shot to vaporizing a ship in one shot. Or a large boat, small ship, somewhere in between.
Yeah. And so the day is saved.
Yay, except for they are literally no better off than before the movie started.
If anything, it's worse because several of their people have died and so did their sister.
Yeah. They accomplished nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they did manage to shut down the coffee plantation, I guess, or at least killed the guy in charge, but...
Yeah.
They did blow up the Turk.
Yeah, I guess they did get rid of their rival. That's probably the... But they could have done that at any point with their deck cannon of doom.
Yeah, so I guess really at the end of the day, yeah, they're that, still worse off, I guess, really.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Yeah, the movie ends.
There's like 8 seconds of credits. It's weirdly, really weird.
Yeah, and most of it is how it's written and directed and produced by the same guy.
Yeah.
And so what did you think of this movie, Chris? The Mothers.
It's not bad. I mean, if you want to dip your toes into what an exploitation film of the era is like, it's not a bad way to go. It's, I don't know, accessible, for lack of a better word. It's not super bananas like some of the stuff can get. It's a weird hybrid of like a couple of different exploitation genres.
It definitely has some blaxploitation to it. Like, I was really surprised that between the captain and Bosun Smee, at no point did they call someone a jive turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got like, some blaxploitation. You got your classic ladies' prison.
Yeah.
Pirate exploitation, which was actually a thing, I think.
Yeah. But it feels like by blending the three, you kind of got like a more vanilla version of all three.
Yeah, it's not as bonkers as I like in my exploitation. I like an exploitation movie that's taken it that extra mile. Like, what was the one we saw at the Alamo?
Oh, I Eat Your Flesh?
Yeah, I think that was it. That's my kind of exploitation movie, where they've got the weird premise and then they go all the fucking way with it. Like,
yeah. This is, it's not so much bonky donkey as kind of goofy.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, the action sequences, it's got that like cheap, weird kung fu bullshit that exploitation was all about back then. There's a lot of guns, a little bit of boobs just for the fellas and the ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as much as I expected, honestly.
It's kind of cool that the ladies were the pirate captains and whatnot. They were in charge, but did anybody question it.
Yeah, none of the dudes had a problem with it at all. They're like, yeah, you're the captain. Yes, aye, captain, let's go.
It's really weird how it felt like they were a crew that had been doing this for a while with each other. Like, they just... This movie is strangely good for as bad as it is, or as cheap as it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's, like, 80-something minutes. It's on Tubi. If you're curious about exploitation and you don't want anything too bananas, like...
Are you exploitation curious?
Yeah. You know, you don't want to just jump right in with like Elsa She-Wolf of the SS or whatever. Then
or Caged Heat.
Yeah. Or like Cannibal Ferox or some weird shit.
Or Black Mama, White Mama.
I say give it a go. You could do a hell of a lot worse. What do you think, Troy?
I mean, I enjoyed it. It wasn't, I guess, as, I don't know, yeah, as exploitative as I expected it to be. When I read the description, I was like, oh, okay. And while I guess technically it delivered on the description, it didn't, like, go anything beyond the description. So I feel like they hit all the notes. They didn't try to go beyond. It's a solid C effort. Like, they passed. They told us what they were going to do. They did it, and then they told us what they did. But like, this essay was not, you know, anything beyond that.
Yeah, you're not going to have to see anyone after class. But
yeah, no one's getting fired for it. But you know, it meets expectations.
It's exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah. So it was fine. I enjoyed it well enough. I also probably would have enjoyed something a little more out there. You know, maybe a little more raunchy, a little more just like bloody, maybe just a little crazier. That's what I would have wanted. But like, I have seen worse movies than this. So if you are exploitation curious, it's probably a good entry point. It's not going to like offend too many people, but it's also not going to like knock your socks off if you are looking for something beyond the norm. So I just say I watch it. Hey, it's on Tubi. It's free. Throw it on while you're doing like you're playing games on your phone or something and you'll be fine. So, speaking of watching things, Chris, what are we watching next week?
I don't remember.
It's Saltburn.
Saltburn.
That's suggested to us by my friend Anna.
All I know about Saltburn is it features dicks.
Yep. Anna, queen of dicks. That's what I have declared her now. So you're welcome for that, Anna.
Or I'm sorry.
I'm never sorry.
So what if other people would like to recommend dick-based films?
Well, they could go to our Discord at discord.slurishprincess.com, which, Matt, if you're going to point people to our Discord, you maybe want to actually say the address, which is discord.slaughterhouseprincess.com.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could email us at slurishprincesspodcast@gmail.com. You could technically go to r/SHP podcast and put a post there. No one does that, and that's okay. You could probably tweet at us, but I don't think the bot works anymore for that, so we probably will never see it. So don't do that.
I ain't paying them any money.
We have a new Facebook like this week, Chris. I did check that. So I guess you could reach out to us on Facebook where we're Slaughter's Princess.
Huh.
Yeah. Other than that, like, just go to slurishprincess.com for all your Slurish Princess needs. If you want to give us financial support of any kind, you could go to store or patreon.slurishprincess.com and, you know, do the store or Patreon thing there.
Yeah, buy a thing. Give us money. Both.
Yeah, either. Buy a comically large tapestry for your friends.
Yeah, buy a tasteful science hand towel.
Yeah, but what you can't get is a Slaughterhouse Princess keychain unless you attend the con.
That's true. They're very limited edition.
Yeah.
So come back next time for Saltburn.
And while their podcasts think about movies, we'll drink dirty bathwater about movies.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it looks like it's a neurotoxin.